Q Radio.
Proper music radio.
So it's Q Radio with me, Kevin Hingley. It is, we're approaching the middle of February, which means it's a pretty exciting time for a lot of people and British music in general, because we're about to experience the return of Hurt with new album Exile on the 11th of March. And I'm very pleased to be joined on the show by Adam from the band. Hello.
Hi, what a cracking build-up.
Oh, great, thank you.
Really appreciate that, Kevin.
I worked on that all night for you.
I could tell, yeah.
Now, I understand Theo's feeling a bit under the weather, so do give our regards to him.
I'll make sure I do. He's sick for the first time since I've known him, which is 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought he was invincible, but apparently not.
Does he normally slam the vitamins hard and the honey tea and all that?
He's just a natural, healthy lad, you know.
He's an invincible guy.
It's a shock to us all.
But you're here anyway, which is fantastic. And like I said, I'm very excited for the return of you guys. And I've been lucky enough to have a preview of a few tracks from the album as well. And what is most exciting to me is that it seems you've managed to evolve your sound in a way that I think Hurt fans will love, existing fans, but also it's going to turn a lot of new people onto your music, I think. Is that something that's important to you amidst all the pressure of releasing, you know, the difficult second album?
I'm glad you noticed that, Kevin. I think yeah, it's important. I think we didn't want to make the mistake of sort of some bands with the second album tend to evolve too much and sort of drastically change. And I think for us, it was important to keep the fundamentals of the first album, but like you say, you know, sort of just push things on a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to rest on your laurels, but also you know you want to sort of give people a bit more. Now, I've noticed in particular as well, there's a lot more guitars and things like that, particularly on the track The Road. Now, our boss here at Q actually saw you guys playing Berlin last Saturday, and he said that over there you are perceived as almost more of a rock outfit. Do you think you're perceived differently in the UK though? And is this the album that might change those perceptions?
I don't know. I think we're a pop band deep down. I think we write pop songs, and you know, no matter how we choose to present each song, I think deep down it is a pop song. But in each country it is different, you know. In some countries they think we're like the Backstreet Boys, and in some countries they think we're like Nine Inch Nails. So
yeah,
it's fascinating for us, really. But I think at our heart, you know, we're a pop band.
I suppose that keeps things interesting for you when you're out on the road as well, like, especially if you don't know what to expect in certain countries. You know, I imagine there's still a lot of places that you're playing for the first time and stuff like that.
Well, that's a fascinating thing. You think you learn a lot about, you know, why people like your music when you go to sort of Taiwan and, you know, you play the Hard Rock Cafe on a beach in Bali.
Yeah.
You know, you learn things about your music and why people like it. And, it's a fascinating insight that a lot of bands wouldn't get the chance to sort of experience, really.
Yeah, I suppose as well, a lot of countries will, you know, will have a long list of bands to compare you to, and a lot of countries won't have heard anything of the like before. So, you know, you're either going to go one of two ways, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. We get that a lot. I mean, especially when we first came out, people found our band really hard to sort of pigeonhole. I used to find it quite amusing, the sort of comparisons that we got. And none of them were really right. And I think that's, you know, maybe that says something about the band. I think we're quite hard to, you know, I think we've managed to, you know, with this album especially, really forge a unique sound that's, you know, doesn't really sound like anyone else.
And, yeah. I think your use of the term pop isn't necessarily a bad thing, though, because, you know, a pop song is to me just something that anyone can get into and relate to. And, you know, if you're sort of able to justify calling yourselves that, then that's only a good thing, right?
I think there's a lot of confusion over what is a pop song.
Yeah.
I mean, with this album, for example, I listened to Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails over and over and over again, and not many people would say that's a pop album. But if you sort of dissect the songs, as we tend to, you know, at the heart of all of those songs is a pop song. The world that's created around a song is something that can be entirely different. But I think at the root, our songs will always, you know, you can always play them on piano, you can always play them on guitar, very simply.
Yeah, and I think as a sort of part of the listening experience as well, with a pop song, it can, you know, be a completely different experience on one day to another. You know, a Whitney Houston song, for example, could be, if you're feeling that way inclined on that day, it could be the saddest thing you've ever heard. And on another day, it could lift you up to a sort of, you know, a sort of a place of euphoria almost. So it is more about the sort of overall experience, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing we try and do with our music is we spend a lot of time creating an environment for the songs. And especially with this album, there's a density to it and a real sort of depth musically that we sort of hinted at with the first album, and we sort of really pushed on further this time. And I think they're the things that hopefully, you know, a year down the line, once someone sort of exhausted the you know, the melody of the song, they'll find something else in our music. And I think that's always the challenge for us with our songs.
Just further layers to explore, isn't it? I mean, I got that from, I think it was about 5 tracks I've managed to preview so far, which is great. But like I say, it's just from a few listens, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface with them. And for that reason, I think it's going to be quite a significant release. But what I wanted to ask you about as well is sort of just moving away specifically from the music bit and more to everything that goes with it. Like, how are you guys coping with everything that comes with being in a band like Hurts this time around? Because I know towards the end of the cycle for Happiness, things were getting a bit tough, and you didn't even have much time off between the end of that and this album, did you?
I think there was a point in our lives, probably maybe 1.5 years ago, where we seriously had to make a decision between trying to balance a home life with, you know, what we were doing every single day, or, you know, just give ourselves entirely to it. And I think we both made the choice that, you know, this is what we want to do, and we can't, you know, waste this amazing opportunity that we have, because we get to do things that, you know, most people sort of dream of doing. So I think once we made the choice to really give ourselves to it entirely, I think the whole experience became, you know, joyous and euphoric, and we really sort of embraced touring our band and sort of tried to live it to its fullest, really.
Just like allow yourselves to enjoy it almost.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you're not, you know, if you don't have to go home for anything, it's quite liberating.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of bands say recently as well that, you know, these days you have to almost treat it a bit more like running a business. So it can be quite difficult to, well, sorry, quite easy to lose track of why you started doing it in the first place. How do you avoid that happening? How do you avoid getting into that mindset?
I don't know. We have some really great people who work for us. So, I mean, we just, you know, luckily we're protected from that sort of thing. We just sort of concentrate on the chaos.
And I know you sort of moved back into a flat in Manchester together as well, where it all sort of, on a street where it all sort of began for you. So I imagine that kind of helped you feel a bit more humbled when re-entering the writing process, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we still don't really know why we chose to do that. It's a mystery to both of us. You got to really question the sanity involved in that.
Yeah.
But for our sins, yeah, we went back to Manchester and regressed about 3-4 years, and, you know, felt very similar to how we felt when we were on the Dole and we were eating noodle sandwiches and, you know, sort of, there was no, it really felt like nothing had changed in our lives. But that was really sort of to the benefit of the album,
because
it allowed us to be extremely disciplined again, and sort of all those sort of the temptations, you could say, of being on tour were sort of had been lifted by being there, and we had nothing to do but make music.
Yeah, just instruments in a corner shop down the road.
Exactly.
I suppose as well that can be a more comfortable experience than, say, going into, you know, a multi-million pound studio in Hollywood and feeling like every single minute is costing someone somewhere an absolute fortune, right?
Yeah, I think Manchester we just associate with, like I said, with writing songs. You know, that's where we always wrote songs, and it's really a place of work for us. I think that's how we consider it. And yeah, we were ready for that after all that touring. We needed that sort of grounding. And Manchester gave us that.
So much musical and cultural sort of history and relevance as well that it would take forever to fully explore as well in a city like Manchester, that I imagine that sort of, you know, helps. Or were you quite secluded? Did you leave the apartment often?
No, we didn't leave much.
No.
Theo likes a walk sort of mid-afternoon. I just sort of bury myself in the computer. Theo used to go to the local cash and carry called Mizan.
Right.
And he'd return with every single day the same thing. He'd have beetroot and avocado, and he'd make himself a little sandwich, and he ate that every single day for a year. And it was really like it was 2007.
I'm quite impressed that they sell avocado at a cash and carry. That must be
the quality was questionable.
An upmarket one. That's amazing. Well, now, normally this is the point where I would give you guys and help whoever I was interviewing the opportunity to plug, you know, upcoming tour dates and all that. But they're pretty much all sold out already, which must be an incredible feeling considering the second record isn't even out yet, right?
Oh, it's great, yeah. It's nice for us to play small venues again as well, because towards the end of the Happiness sort of run, we were playing, you know, big arenas, really, especially in Europe. So it's sort of, it's quite cool to sort of test out the new songs in smaller venues. But I think we just done London and Berlin, and I think in March we've got sort of Manchester, we're doing Glasgow as well.
Yeah.
So we've got a few there, and then in the autumn after the festival run, I'm sure we'll do a lot of festivals. Then we've got... we'll have another tour, a bigger tour.
Ah, cool. I was going to say it would probably be quite daunting to come back after that, you know, short disappearance with brand new songs, but in an arena setting where you're quite exposed as a duo, when, you know, you're still testing the water with this material. Or do you sort of instantly feel quite confident in what you write?
I think we're really confident with this one. I think the first album, we, you know, I think we had to believe in it, but I think underneath there was certainly elements of self-doubt, which perhaps other people didn't see, but it was definitely there. And I think just, you know, the experiences we had the next 3 years has sort of just led us to have, you know, more conviction than ever, really. And I think we really stand by this album and what we've done with it, and we can't wait to sort of play it to people.
Well, sure. I mean, with all the album sales and ticket sales and that, you must be doing something right. And from the short preview I've had of the album, I'm entirely confident that it's going to blow everyone away. So thank you so much for joining me, Adam, and do give my best to Theo. Like I said, the album comes out on the 11th of March. It's called Exile, and you've got a single, Miracle, the day before, right?
We certainly do, yeah. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
No worries. Best of luck. Proper Music Radio. Q Radio.